Well, today I'm going to be sharing a message on God's vision for family relationships. And this month of February, somehow we're entering the month of love. Who likes the month of love? Can I see all the guys in the house? Okay, guys, that's good. Okay, month of love. What about the ladies? Ladies, can I see your hands? You like the month of love? Do you like to be spoiled? Do you like to be treated nice, pampered? Okay, guys, you take note. It's next week, okay? Next week is the... We have a big Valentine's... Well, we don't have a big Valentine's. We have a big relationship seminar next Saturday. We would love to all of you to come back and be a part of that. You do have to register because we'll be providing some food. It is going to be a great morning together, learning about God's vision for love. But as we enter into the month of February, we're going to be talking about God's... A vision for relationships, and because we're in a theme for this year, vision focused, and month of February, there's going to be a lot of good stuff that you'll learn about relationships. And today, I want to start on the vision that God had for family relationships. Now, I know we have a lot of people here that have families, maybe they're living alone, maybe you don't see your family as much, and we have different situations and stuff like that, but I just want to focus on how did God intend it to be from the very beginning? And I'm sure everybody here, whether you're single or married or about to get married, will get something from this, and we'll learn something, and we'll be able to apply it to our life. But, you know, I grew up in a home that wasn't perfect. I grew up in a home when there was a... I didn't have an ideal picture of what a healthy family looks like. And I know for a lot of people that may sound a little weird, but I grew up in a home where my dad was a pastor, and he didn't really always... I never really had a... I was trying to picture how does family supposed to function? And, you know, I had a picture of functioning family in my own eyes, but it wasn't really a functioning family. It was actually dysfunctioning family. And as I was growing up, there was a lot of stuff happening, things that I've heard, things that I've seen that I shouldn't have seen, just a lot of stuff. Fortunately, my parents have later on divorced, and there's a lot of stuff there. I'm not going to get into all my childhood trauma now, but I do want to share with you that I didn't have a perfect picture of what family looks like, unfortunately, and that has always put in a desire in my heart as a young boy that I've always wanted to have a family that doesn't look like this. I've wanted to have a marriage that doesn't look like this. I wanted to have children that are not as messed up as I was, and I wanted to just have a perfect family. And in my own mind, I had a picture of that, but it wasn't the right picture. And little did I know that a lot of things that I've experienced as a child in a family setting, I actually, all the brokenness I brought into my own family, and there's been a lot more things, I'm not going to get into details, that I had to deal with in order for me to heal from all the things that I've experienced as a child. Now, some of you here this morning, you might have grown up in a perfect home. Can I see your hands? Okay, we got one. That's good. That's good. Or two, and you've had a perfect picture of what the family should look like, and I want to talk to you about that. I would love to sit down with you for a coffee, and I want you to tell me, how is that possible that you were able to have that in your life? And I'm sure there's a lot of, probably if I was going to ask you a question about that, you probably have to do a lot of, well, it was God, definitely. It was all God. But even Christian families now, they struggle to figure out, how is it supposed to be? What is this life supposed to be like? How is it supposed to? And you know, one of the things that I realized is God has always had a picture and a vision for what that should look like. And we have it obviously in the Bible. We'll read it in a moment. But he's always had this ideal, intended ideal of what family should look like, intended design for our relationships. And as often as humans, oftentimes, most of us sitting in this room or watching online, we have not really experienced that ideal design due to various circumstances, due to brokenness, due to things that other people have done or other experiences that other people have had and their own brokenness. And God is the one who created the family. And because he's the one who created it, he actually wants it to succeed and he wants it to be amazing. I believe truly with all of my heart that God wants the best for you, for your family, for my family, that he wants you to live this life that he has imagined and he has pictured for you. And because he's the one who designed it, God never creates anything to fail. He wants it to succeed. So why is it that people that we love the most, especially in our family relationships, why is it that most often those people that we love the most and we live with, we struggle to forgive, we struggle to understand, we struggle to connect with? Why do family relationships, which we know should be the greatest source of love and support and strength, sometimes feel so hard? We're going to try to answer that question this morning. I'm going to try to do it in 30 minutes. We'll see how that goes. But I want to go back to the very beginning of how did God intended this to be and look like? And why are we here today struggling to have this family, ideal family. In Genesis 2, God created the world, and this is what we're going to read. We're going to read Genesis 2, 18 through 24. It says this: "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground and all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky, and he brought them to a man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, there was no suitable helper that was found. Not a single animal that was created was able to meet Adam's deepest need. So the Lord caused man to fall asleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of his ribs, and then he closed it up in the place with flesh. And then the Lord made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to a man, and the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of a man. And this is why a man shall leave his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh.'" Here is the first perfect marriage that was created by God, and how it was intended to be. The first perfect family that was created, and how it was intended to be. And we're not going to go into all the other stories and their kids and all that kind of stuff, but here is the picture and the vision that God has had for a man and a woman. He wanted a strong family, starting with Adam and Eve, and through them, he wanted to build a strong strong world, strong society, strong life. And he told them, go and multiply, have children, fill the earth. And what we need to realize is that strong families build strong societies. At the same time, a healthy, godly home today creates a thriving, godly world tomorrow. What family is, it's supposed to be a place where love roots, support lives, and growth flourishes. It's supposed to be built on this love of God that comes from Him. And really, heaven touches earth when our family aligns with God's vision. So we can build His kingdom starting at home. And this was the first kingdom marriage, kingdom family, and this is how it all got started. So family was God's plan. It was His idea. And it was what he came up with. And a healthy family is God's blueprint for filling his purpose, for fulfilling his purpose on earth. You know, a lot of people will say, well, I don't really believe that family was God's idea. You know, government just came up with this idea of, you know, marriage, and it's just a paper. Marriage is just a paper, and it's not, you know, it's not. This culture and this world did not come up with this idea of marriage and family. It was God himself. And he designed a family to be this intimate, to have this intimate, loving relationship, obviously starting with Adam and Eve. And then as the foundation, that was the foundation, and the family is the foundational unit of the society that is supposed to be rooted in this love, unity, and purpose that was given to Adam and Eve. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't just like God, oh, I'm just going to create a woman, create a family, and this is just on accident. This was a gift that was given by God to the world. And one of the things that we've heard many, many times is that we can't choose our family. We can't choose our parents. We can't choose our brothers and sisters and cousins and our family members. But what we get to do is we get to choose how to love and how to relate to our family. And the problem is that a lot of people have not learned to love their family and to relate to their family. There's a lot of people that don't want to be a part of family reunions because there's a lot of baggage there. There's a lot of things that have not been dealt with. So marriage was a union that was designed by God between one man and one woman, and that was how it was from the very beginning. And that is the only right way that it has been designed. It's a covenant relationship between one man and one woman. And this is God's blueprint for us to follow. Marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract. And what a lot of people do think when they enter marriage, they think, oh, it's just, you know, here's a paper that I'm going to sign. And they always ask themselves a question like, what's in it for me? What do I get out of this? And a lot of people are afraid to enter marriage because they think they're actually are going to lose on something. And they think it's just it's a contract where you sign certain things, and this is what's in it for me. When God never intended it to be like that. God has always intended marriage to be a covenant, which actually is all about giving, not about getting. The question is not, what am I getting out of this? The question is, what can I give to make this successful? And the problem is, a lot of people that enter marriage or any kind of relationship with a question in their mind, what can I get out of this? Usually, those relationships do not last long. There's an expiry date on that, because you can only get so much. So God is the one who created marriage, and marriage is a sacred covenant that reflects Christ's relationship with the church, which is all about this sacrificial love. It's all about this mutual submission. It's all about this unity. Ephesians 5 talks about that a lot. And then Jesus later on in Matthew 19 talks about that, and he reaffirms it. Jesus reaffirms God's original blueprint and vision for marriage, and that was that it was supposed to be a union between one man and one woman, and there is nothing, and this is what Jesus said in Matthew 19, 4, 6. He says, what God had joined together, let no one separate. That was God's intended design for marriage. And then from there on, I'm not going to stay too much on the marriage because we're going to be having a seminar, and I want to invite all of you to come back this coming up Saturday. But God's intended purpose was this for marriage, and then out of that was supposed to be a blessing on having children and the offspring, and that's what God intended. He said in Psalm 127, he says, children, they are a heritage from the Lord. He says this, children have been given to us as parents, the joy of having children, and children are a blessing from God. And parents have a full responsibility to raise them in his ways. In the second Moses, Deuteronomy talks about how parents are called to teach and model their faith to their children. In Ephesians 6, talks about how we as parents, we are to discipline and we are to instruct our children in the Lord. And then it talks about it also in the same scriptures that we are we are to be an example as parents. We're to train them. And this is how it's meant to be. This is how it's supposed to be from the very beginning. We are to teach our children the way that they should follow. Now, I know a lot of people expect the church, as in like a corporate body of Christ, to be the ones that will instruct my children to follow the Lord. And I know maybe even some people choose church based on how the kids' ministry is, because if the kids' ministry is not good, well, we're not going to attend that church. And I understand that whole aspect of kids' ministry, and we have a great kids' ministry. But beyond that, what I want to say is you can't expect as a parent 30 minutes a week or an hour a week if you come for a youth night or whatever for those people that are in church to instruct your children. It is your sole responsibility as a parent to instruct and discipline and lead your child to the Lord. That's not my responsibility. It's not on me to raise them. It is our responsibility as parents to do that. And a lot of people fail at this, and they expect other people, they expect institutions and schools and all different things, which are not bad, necessarily not bad at all, but we have a responsibility as parents to raise our children and instruct them in the Lord. And not only that, but to model to them what it actually means to follow the Lord, what it actually means to be faithful, what it actually means to serve the Lord, what it actually means to pray, to read the Bible, to have a relationship with the Lord. There's a disconnect because a lot of people walk away from faith. A lot of children walk away from faith later on because they haven't seen their parents living it out. They've seen their parents go to church, do this, but they are living two different lives. So we are to be an example to our children. And there's no greater blessing for a parent. I know that now, having three boys myself, being a father, leading my children well, and seeing God do work in their life as they follow the Lord and as they open up their heart to Him. And this is how it's meant to be. But why do families struggle? Why do we struggle? And why do we fail? Why do we have a problem? Why do we have that disconnect? Because of brokenness that has entered the world through the sin. Which brings me to a second thing I want to point out. That we as Christians, we must confront sin head on. We must confront it head on. It's the force that twists and breaks every single relationship. Sin, which entered the world through Adam and Eve, unfortunately, distorts relationships, it breaks relationships, it destroys families, it destroys children, it destroys what it was supposed to be like. And what sin has done, it's actually fractured, it's destroyed that God's ideal design for family from the very beginning. And we see that happen right away with Adam and Eve's kids, Cain and Abel. When there was sin that was standing at the door and his brother killed his own brother. When sin comes in, there's brokenness and there's disruption to God's ideal design for family. And that's where we see brokenness, that's where we see pain, and that's where we see conflict. Sin is what destroys relationships. Even Christian families. We struggle to live out this God's plan because of sin and our own brokenness that we haven't dealt with. The fall that happened with Adam and Eve, what it did, it brought in the shame, It brought in the blame, and it brought in the division into the relationships. And that's why we have today in our relationships, it's all about this blame, shame. It's like a crazy cycle is what they call it. Blaming each other. This is what you did. So you did this to me and you did that to me. Well, look, I did this to you and you did this to me too. And it's just this blame cycle, and that is a cycle of sin. And in order for us to break out of this cycle, we have to face that sin and that brokenness right on, head on. God has a perfect, ideal plan, and His grace is bigger than any sin and any brokenness. And God can take the most broken soul and the most broken heart, and He can take those pieces and He can put them together like it's supposed to be. Only God can do that. And God has been in the process of restoring and redeeming, and with His grace, calling people back and telling people, you've got to deal with the sin. You've got to deal with the brokenness, because if you don't, it will break relationships. And a lot of people bring their sin and their brokenness into their relationships, and then it affects everything around them. The consequences for the sin, we know, is death. And God's promise was there to Abraham, who was the father of all, he was called the father of faith. It was that God will bless him. If he follows in the way of the Lord, that God will bless him. That God will prosper him, and all of his children will be blessed. And I believe that same promise that was given to Abraham a long time ago is the same promise that you and I can stand on today as a family and say, if we follow in God's way and in God's plan and His vision for our life and our marriage and our relationship and our children, we will be blessed. God wants to bless us, but we need to deal with the sin. So how do we become better in our relationships? How do we love? How do we go from brokenness to wholeness? How do we go from hurt to healing? What we need to do simply is we need to just simply look to the perfect example. And that perfect example is Jesus Himself, Christ, our Savior. Without Christ as our guide, our relationships crumble. His example is the foundation for lasting love. He's the one who modeled this. He's the one who lived this out. He actually, when he was living on this earth, he actually was walking in the steps, and he was actually relating to people in love. He was authentic. He was forgiving. He was selfless. He was dedicated all the way till the cross, where he said, "I'm giving my life as a ransom for all the people that are living in sin. And I'm going to give my life to redeem them." And this is where everything begins. And this is how our life, in our own way, in our success, in our own relationships will begin, is if we look to Christ as our perfect example. I came up with the acronym FAMILY. I read up something, I was reading something online, and I was doing some research, and I found this, and I thought this was so cool. And this is something that we'll talk about this morning, but you could probably even have this, try to memorize this, and try to maybe even like write this down, put it on your fridge. This is some of the things that will really make family relationships successful. And I'm going to start with the family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, these six things that are really important for us to make it successful as we look to Christ. The number one, F, family, stands for forgiving. Forgiving. Forgiveness is the foundation of a healthy, godly family relationship. It is a foundation. It's almost like the rock that's at the bottom sitting there. And without the forgiveness, there's going to be hurt, pain, resentment, and bitterness. And what that will do, the bitterness and resentment, what that will do, it will actually destroy love. How do people fall out of love for their family members or for their loved ones? How do people come to the point where they say, we don't love each other anymore? We just, we had something in the beginning, it was genuine, it was great, and now 10 years later, we just lost this love thing. And we just don't love each other anymore, and we're just going to go on our separate ways. How do people fall out of love? This is a hard answer. Hard question, but a simple answer. How do people come to the point where they say, well, I can't take this. I can't live like this anymore. I don't love this. I am out. And this is how they come to that point. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Never saying, well, I'm sorry, there's stuff that I got to deal with too. It's not only your fault. Never saying, I forgive you. I let go of the hurt. And this is so hard because I know there's a lot of things there's few things that are, even Jesus, they came up to Jesus and they asked him, what's the only reason that we are able to separate? And Jesus said, well, because of the hardness of your heart, the only reason I'm going to give you for divorce is unfaithfulness. But even then, Jesus is hoping, as he's saying, that you would be able to forgive. Now, this is so hard, and I'm not going to go into details because I have a lot of friends that have gone through this. But forgiveness does not mean that we excuse the bad behavior. It does not mean that. It means that we free ourselves from the weight of bitterness. It's the bitterness that's weighing people down. It's building up this resentment. And every single day of our life, we have a choice to make. Am I going to be forgiven or am I going to be resentful and bitter? Every single day of your life, every single moment of your life, when you get in a conflict, you have a choice to make. Am I going to be forgiving or am I going to be resentful? You probably have heard this before, living rent-free in someone's head. It's so hard to let go. But because we know what Jesus has done for us and how much he has forgiven us, we can also come to the point and say that we can forgive too. And I've been on both ends. I've seen relationships fall because of unforgiveness. I've also seen relationships be restored back to beautiful relationships because of forgiveness. And has it been easy? No, it hasn't been easy, but they have been restored because of forgiveness. The world will say, no, we live in a cancel culture world. They'll say, well, if they cheated you once, it's over. That's not the way that God wanted and God intended it to be. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I want to move to A, which stands for authentic. You see, families thrive when we are just real with each other. Authenticity at home, there's no pretending, there's no hiding, there's just honesty, there's vulnerability, and the family is a place where we can have this safe space where we're able to share with each other honestly and openly, where we have a chance to practice what it means to be honest at home first. We have a chance to practice what it means to be authentic, what it means to be genuine at home first. Not when we grow up and get married, but we get to do that at home first. We get to actually come to our children and our partners and we get to admit that we are wrong, that we made a mistake, that we acted stupid, that we said things that we shouldn't have said. We actually have an opportunity to come and say, I am really sorry for saying that. We have an opportunity to come to our children and say, son, I am sorry for saying that. I never really meant to say that to you. I never really meant to call you a name because that is not who you are. We have an opportunity to practice this, to openness and share our struggles and share our things that we're dealing with. This is a safe place for us to share. Now, the problem is because of the brokenness, family has become a place that is not safe to share these things. And that's why we have to deal with sin and brokenness first so that we can have an atmosphere with our partner and with our children where we're able to share our hearts, where we're truly able to open up and say what we need to say, not just go around in circles around the bushes and say what we don't mean, but actually say what we mean and then deal with that right there and then. Authenticity is learned. Forgiveness is learned at home. Authenticity is learned at home as well. Why do we have a lot of fake people? We like to call them fake people. They're so fake. You know, they do one thing and then they live out another thing. They say one thing, they do something. Because those people have so much brokenness that they haven't learned to be honest. They don't even know what it means to be honest. They don't even know what it means to be open and transparent. They've never seen it. They've never learned it. So you're going to need a lot of forgiveness for those people. And then it leads to letter M, F, forgiveness, A, authentic. M stands for magnetic, which means simply just means these families should be drawn together by love, not pushed apart by conflict. And this includes physical affection, kind words, and a quality time that's spent together with the family that creates this magnetic bond. Instead of allowing conflict to pull us apart, we need to allow love to bring us together. Love of Christ. That simply means hugging your, maybe your spouse just needs a hug. They don't need you to say much or do much. They just may need a hug today because there's been too much hurt. Maybe your child just needs you to sit down beside him and shut up and say nothing and just hug them. And just sit there with them in the moment and show them how much you love them. It's just these small acts of love that can create this strong family connection. And unfortunately, we live in a world where physical affection, we have to be careful, obviously, with that. But where I come from, there's lots of hugging and kissing. And I've said this multiple times. And I know we have some different cultures in our church, which is incredible. You know, it's okay to go and hug someone and just give him like a deep hug and just hold him there for a moment. And, you know, we have a greeting back home. We kiss each other 3 times and that kind of stuff. We hold a hand. I know it's really weird, right? Like you got 2 guys, they're seeing each other for the first time and all they do is they hold a hand and they just kiss 3 times. Someone here, if you do that here in North America, they'd say, No. I've said this before, but my wife and I, with our kids, we don't let them leave the house or do anything without getting first a hug. Even when they don't want a hug, I'm still going to hold them and just... Even when I don't want to kiss, I'm still going to kiss them. And this is what you learn at home first. This is learned at home. Family. This is what you teach at home. We hug. In this family, we hug. We give big hugs. In this family, we kiss. In this family, we love each other. We show affection. And because of the hurt and because of the pain and because of the brokenness, a lot of people have not been able to experience that. I'll just leave it at that. I stands for instruct. See, parents, as parents, we have this God-given responsibility to teach our children faith, what it means to be live in faith, what it means to walk by faith. We have a responsibility to teach them the values of the scripture. And we also have a responsibility to teach them life, how to live life, how to respond, how to walk, what to do. You see, we as a family, as we instruct our children, we have a responsibility to talk to our children about spiritual things. We have a responsibility to do devotions, to follow up on them, to share the stories of God's faithfulness. This is God's plan, because God, in the beginning, as the Old Testament, as you go through that, God even mentions that to the Israelites. He says, remember the works of remind your children of the things that I have done for you. Tell them about the faithfulness of what I've done for you in Egypt. Tell them about the faithfulness of what I've done for your father Abraham. Talk to your children. This is how the faith in your children is being built up. It is through stories of God's faithfulness. Are we actually doing that today with our families? When we're sitting around the table, are we talking about how God has done something in our life that was great? Are we talking about how, you know, the world is so messed up and this happened, but are we talking about the positives and what God is doing in this world today? Teach your children, instruct them with not just words, but actions. And this I preach to myself first, because I fail here many, many times. I say one thing and I do another thing. And then I just wake up, oh, I got to do it again. And it's like every day is a struggle. I say something, I'm going to do it, and then I fail, and I just got to live this out. I want to be an example. I want to instruct my kids to live this out. L stands for loyalty. Family relationships should be unbreakable. They're marked by faithfulness and commitment. We are loyal to each other. We live this out. We walk this out as a family. What we say is what we do. And if we fail to do what we say, we apologize, we become authentic, we become honest and say, I'm sorry, I'm going to try again. Show your family. Show your family, even when it's inconvenient, that you are willing and you want to keep your promises, that you want to be loyal, that you want to be faithful, that you want this life that you're living to reflect the commitment and the faithfulness that you have towards the Lord. Loyalty is so important, and we have so little of it today because people don't even know what it means. People don't even understand what it means. And the last thing is yield. Y is for yield. And this yield word, to me, it's all about this humility. And going back to the message last Sunday, Pastor Ken preached about the heart. It's all about the condition of your heart. How is your heart? This is when we are humble enough. We're so humble that we just want to see harmony in our home. We want to see this work out. So we put other people's needs before our own, just like Christ would do. We say, you know what? Okay, I'm going to talk about your needs first, and then we'll talk about mine. I want to meet your needs. I want to yield. I want to be soft. I don't want to be rigid. I don't want to be all about my way. This is how it's supposed to be, and I'm always right. No, you're not. It's about the heart, where you ask yourself, how is my heart? Am I really humble in this situation? Am I really acting out of pride? Or am I acting out of humility? We need to serve our family without expecting anything in return. That is what we're called to do. We need to look for ways to bless our spouse, to bless our children, to bless our parents, even when that seems so difficult. Because that's what Jesus did. when it was the most difficult for him, he still was hanging on the cross, and he said, God bless them, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. That is how we live. We look to Jesus. So, as we kind of close off today, I did it in 30 minutes, I'm proud. And as we actually stand this morning, I want you just to stand. I want you to think of these few things that I shared this morning. I want you to take some time to evaluate your own relationships, your own family, whatever it is that you have going on. Where is it that you need to maybe forgive more? Where is it that you need to maybe be a little more authentic? And where is it that you actually need to show more love? Just maybe like one of these things. You don't have to do all of them. Just pick one thing. And I want you to ask God to help you to live this out. Because without His help, without His power, without the Holy Spirit in us, we will not be able to live this out, this kind of love. We can try in our own strength, but it's not going to last long. God wants us to live this life the way He designed it, His vision. He has a vision for us. And because of different situations, I know there's a lot of different situations, I'm not going to get into that, but what I want to end with is God is able to restore and redeem any brokenness and any sin and anything that has happened in the past. God is able to turn around, and that's why we as a church, we believe that God will take the worst, He will take all things, and He will turn them into something good. Only God can do that. Not always easy, but with God's help, we will try, and we will rely on His strength and His power. So let's pray this morning. If you want to be included, I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand, and I'll pray together. Father God, we thank You for this word. We thank You for the plan that You have for us. We come to You this morning with our grateful hearts, and we thank You for the family that You've given us, the people that are around us right now. And we know that You've designed the family to be the perfect reflection of Your love. Place where we learn to forgive, we learn to grow, we learn to love deeply. And oftentimes, God, we fall short and we don't meet the expectations. But with Your help, Holy Spirit, we want to be more forgiving. We want to be more authentic. We want to be more magnetic. We want to be more loyal. We want to be steadfast. We want to be committed. We want to be faithful. God, we want You to help us to fill our hearts, to fill our homes with Your Holy Spirit so that we can live out this plan that You intended for us. We can't do it on our own. And we need You to do it. So help us, God. Help us to be a reflection of this healthy family that You want us to live and have so that we can impact the world. And we can tell the world that this is possible because You give us strength. You're the one who works in us and lives in us and does things through us. So we give You our life. We give You, we commit all of these things to You. And we pray that You would help us. I pray all these things in the name of Jesus, and everybody says, amen.